Well, on KBRB, we are joined in studio by someone I'm looking at, and I'm not quite sure all the marbles are there, but I don't know. We're going to let him try to convince us that he's not clinically crazy. But that is got Nick Martin here joining us, and Nick competed recently in an ultra marathon, 100 miles over a certain amount of time, and judging by the way I saw you later in the week, Nick, it had to be quite a test.
Yeah, I had never done an ultra before, and so it's kind of something I wanted to do and knock off my bucket list of things I've done and push my body to the limit and kind of see mentally where I was, and I for sure got all I asked for because, like you said, a couple days after the race, I think I was using a walker and a cane to get around. My body, it took a while to recover, and finally now, about 2 weeks out, I'm finally starting to feel a little bit more normal.
A little bit back to being human again. So, you know, this is kind of a niche competition that people push themselves into, and there's different versions of it across the country. Some of them are biking, some of them are like this with a looking, you know, I don't know if you want to call it racing, but in a walking or running endurance test, and you see others with swimming the side of it. But what kind of got you keyed into, was it just that, hey, we see that this is coming up on the Cowboy Trail and it's something I want to try, or how did you find out and decide this was going to be my thing?
Well, you know, when they first did it the very first year, so I think this is the fourth year they've done it, the very first year I noticed people running on the Cowboy Trail, and I was kind of intrigued. I was like, well, you know, I wonder what they're doing, what kind of race, because sometimes, you know, you've seen, like you've said, bikes or different competitions just going up and down the road, and I'd seen them and the lights and everything, and so I'd looked it up, and I thought, well, that's pretty neat. Just started, like I said, 4 years ago, and so I'd kind of put it on a calendar. I was like, well, I'd like, you know, I think I can do that. Obviously, like, in our own head, there's a lot of things that you think you can do or tell yourself you can do, and until you actually do them, you're not really sure. But for 2 years, I had weddings back-to-back years that I was involved in on the exact date, and so I was like, oh, man, this is bad timing, and I really want to do it. And then finally, and then in 2024, I'd kind of looked at my next year in 25 and thought, okay, well, I don't think I have too anything scheduled for that exact date, so I'd like to kind of maybe put that on the schedule. And so I went ahead and signed up. I signed up in February of 25. Of course, I don't know if that was the best timing, because I was supposed to have my third kid due right about a month beforehand. So,
well, let's talk about the training, Nick, that you put yourself through to try to see if you could do this. This is one that wasn't just, oh, I'll get off the treadmill and go do 100 miles. So talk about what you did as a training regimen to build up to this competition.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was putting on a lot of miles during the week, actually, on the treadmill. I've been training consistently, obviously, for most of my life, running or, you know, exercising, lifting, and just being active. But when I signed up for it, I knew I had to really start stacking some miles and trying to up that weekly mileage. And so a lot of my hours and miles that I put in actually ended up being on the treadmill, because opening the weight room for the school in the morning. And so then I pieced together some weekends here and there that I put in some long runs, you know, 15, 16 miles. But otherwise, a lot of the hours I spent on the treadmill. And then on top of that, I mean, my job's fairly on my feet, physical working. And then, you know, I hobby in golf. And so I started trying to walk the golf course and just be on my feet as much as possible to try to just prepare myself.
So this 100-mile event started on a Saturday in Atkinson along the Cowboy Trail and finished in Valentine. And this wasn't one where it was, well, you've got several days to complete this. This was literally, you have to do this in one, you know, one fell swoop. There was no, well, I'll start this part today, come back tomorrow, come back the next day. You had 32 hours to complete the course. So anybody who's ever been on a treadmill knows, if you're walking on a treadmill, usually it's just a decent, brisk walking pace is a little over 4 miles an hour, around there, if you're just keeping a little brisk pace on a walk. So you think of that, that's that pace over 25 straight hours. So as you started, kind of just talk about how it went as it progressed. I mean, you're on the course, and I'm sure at the first part you're trying to stack as many miles as you can early while you feel good. But just talk about from the start toward the midpoint toward the final stretch how it went.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, I hadn't had any experience with an ultra, so I was kind of trying to do a little research, but everything's pretty much like up to your own body. And so when I started off in Atkinson, I tried to keep a slower pace, about 10-minute miles, and I thought, well, I'll try to get a head start and try to like kind of push that pace and give myself some extra time, because throughout the race, there's also aid stations to where you can kind of like eat something, sit down for 5-10 minutes, and so you have to kind of factor that in. So for the first like about 20 miles, I kind of kept similar to that pace. But there is like a balance of that, because the more you run, just the harder that is also on your joints, your muscles and everything compared to the walking. And so you kind of need to balance that out, instead of like wearing your body down too early. And then you're not going to be able to sustain, you know, your muscles, that all that compression is going to have a later effect in the race. And so through 20 miles, I kind of tried to keep that pace. And then from there, I tried to go a little bit of a walking / running pace per mile. And then it was, you know, you don't want to look too far ahead. You kind of go, you know, station to station. And so you just try to keep your mindset in that I'm going to get from here, maybe the next aid station is 10, 11, 12 miles. And so you're just trying to keep a pace through that. And so I did really good, and I got to about mile 27, and I was really like, what am I doing? I'm not sure.
Mile 27.
Mile 27, I thought, what am I doing here? This doesn't
That's
seem,
after a full marathon, yeah, basically.
This doesn't seem real smart. And I thought, well, I have about 6 or 7 miles to get to the next aid station. I'm going to get there, and I'll reevaluate how I'm doing. I got there, and my crew was there, which would include my wife and my 3 kids and newborn. So I had a lot of distraction, but I did get something to eat and something to drink. And just sitting down for about 10 minutes, I kind of was like, you know what? Okay, push it to the next aid station. And that was in Long Pine. And at that point, I was at 33 miles. And I left that, and I actually felt pretty good. I thought, okay, yeah, you know, that's fine. Like, I'm actually feeling a lot better. Let's get to the Long Pine. That's like 44 miles, and we'll reevaluate where my body's at, what kind of pace, what kind of I need to put in.
So what time of the day was that then that you would have rolled into Long Pine and completing around the 40-mile mark?
That was around, sure. I think, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So sometime in the afternoon. I can't remember the exact time. But so at that point, I really hadn't eaten very much. I mean, I packed like water and some like sugar, electrolytes, like quick snacks, quick things to some honey and stuff to get some quick calories and energy. But that was like my first time I got to sit down and actually eat food, which, you know, that was I started it. So 7 hours maybe after I finally got some real food in me. And that, I think that propelled me to Long Pine to get there. The problem I did find myself between Bassett and Long Pine was I wasn't probably pushing salt very good. And so I think the water I was intaking, I was just pretty much sweating it right out. And so I started to cramp, and my kidneys actually started to hurt a bit. And so I did get some salt tablets and really started trying to push them at Long Pine. And then depending, I guess, on like how much detail you want me to go into, I was really cramping in Long Pine. And so I tried to get actually Kelly Gamble came in and gave me a massage for like 10 minutes. But like my muscles were so spasming, I don't know how much good it did. I tried to eat some food and push water. But 4 or 5 miles outside of Long Pine, now going to Ainsworth to reach like the halfway point kind of. I was in a pretty like rough spot. I was thinking like, man, maybe I should stop in Ainsworth. Maybe like 50 miles, that's pretty good. And yeah, I was having a tough time getting anything kind of the water to go through me. I guess urinating wise, like it was just dark brown, hardly coming out. And I was like, man, this probably isn't very good internally. But I think about most of the way to Ainsworth, the salt really started to kick in and the hydration, and I started to feel good about 2 miles outside of Ainsworth. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll roll into Ainsworth, get some food, sit down, and I'll keep going. And so I did that, checked in, got some coffee, and ate a little bit of food that my wife brought me, and then I got to see a few more people, some of my friends again in Ainsworth, and so, you know, everyone was cheering me on. And then Robbie France actually got to pace me then for a while there going forward, and so that actually helped having company through the night.
Because you're walking all the way through the night. There was no, we're going to crash out on the trail for a few hours and call it good. It was walking all the way through the night and into the next day.
Yeah, at that point it was 9:30 at night, so I'd been moving then for like 13 and a half hours with only stopping to sit down twice for about 10 minutes each. And so getting there, I actually got some walking sticks to help me just like kind of keep my balance throughout the night and everything, and got my headlamp going and everything, and fueled with all the water and everything. So with that race too, like nobody can carry anything for me and nobody can give me anything except for at those aid stations. Mm-hmm. So everything that I have to carry on me. And so we took off in the middle of the night, which is kind of great, I think, that stretch in the dark, because I've ran that a lot, Ainsworth to my house, sure, to Johnstown. Yep. And so the familiarity, I was a little worried that like I was going to know each mile how far I had to go yet. But being in the dark, you know, you can only see 5 feet in front of you. And so it's just, you know, you're taking it step by step and just going. And I got all the way to Johnstown. That was the next aid station where they have just water. So certain aid stations are manned, certain are unmanned. That was an unmanned aid station, so all it has is water refill. So I can refill my water. And at that point I knew, okay, I got about 11 miles or so to Wood Lake. And once I get there, I can sit down again. And that stretch was really interesting, because through that stretch in the pitch black, you start to really see people get delirious. And you actually start to see people, you can see in their headlamps and just the way people start really veering on the cowboy trail. They can't walk straight. You see people start laying down. You kind of try to talk to them or say, are you all right? And some people, I mean, give you an answer. Some people, they don't. They're kind of out of it. And so we passed quite a few people going along there. And, you know, you kind of get worried and hope they all can get back up and keep going.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, mindset, that you know, were you able to push through that, or did you get to the point, you know, I've when you've heard people that push their body to extremes, you hear about, you know, I started hallucinating, or I started having, you know, started seeing things or flashes of light or different things. I didn't know as your body was taxed to that stage, if you experienced any of that.
I did. So I made it all the way to Wood Lake. And that was about mile 73. And at that Wood Lake, I got a burger, which was great. And I ate some ramen and a Coke. And I think that really helped me. And I laid down, actually. I told myself, okay, I'm going to lay down for 10 minutes. I'm going to take a nap, and I'm going to keep going. And luckily, I had Colton and Ethan Munger, and then my wife met me there again. And I laid down on a cot, and I said, set a timer for 10 minutes, wake me up. I fell asleep for 10 minutes. They woke me up. They took off my shoes, my socks, and I had to completely tape up my feet because I had so many blisters on my feet that it hurt to just take every step. And so they just taped my feet up so that way I couldn't hardly feel anything. I put my new shoes on, and at that point I got up to go, and I had no idea where I really was. Like, I started walking, and they basically had to steer me on the trail because I really had no sense of direction of where the trail was or anything. You know, once I'm on it, I was like, pretty good to just keep going because it's a pretty easy trail to follow. But at that point, laying down for a little bit and, you know, street lights and everything, I didn't know where I was. That next stretch was okay to the end, to Arabia. Arabia was the last unmanned aid station that I got to. So there was just water there and a few snacks, but my crew couldn't be there or anything. I refilled with water, and I grabbed like a little thing of Oreos and ate them. And I would say that I had 16 miles to finish. And I'd never been on that stretch of the Cowboy Trail. But at that point, when I was going through there, that was the roughest part of the race by far. I mean, my body was in the roughest shape. It got almost to 90 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Towards the end, I was like, I ran out
windy.
Of water.
Yeah.
And I would say that's where I actually did maybe experience like a little hallucination. Like, I felt like I was walking through the desert. I could just, I don't know, it was kind of like the trail becomes, you just keep walking on it and the heat and everything. And so it was just trying to worry about basically putting one step in front of the other, because at that point out from 16 miles and not knowing the trail and the heat and everything. And by that part, like, you're so spread out, you know, early on the race, you kind of see people here and there,
yeah.
But towards the end of the race, you're so spread out, there's not really people on the trail anymore. And I mean, that stretch of Cowboy Trail, you're out in the middle of the hills. There's not really anything
right.
to look at. There's no shade. There's nothing. And so through that stretch was very miserable, and I ran out of water, and yeah, my sunburnt and my lips were cracking, and every step was pretty excruciating pain. It wasn't
so what did you what did you how did how were you able to go through that and not just say, all right, I'm pulling out the cell phone, come pick me up, I'm crazy, I can't do this anymore? What got you through to those last miles?
You know, it was funny because, like, I don't know how many times I said, like, I wanted to quit so bad. I told my wife, I'd call her a couple times, like, I want to quit. But the deep down, I feel like I knew I never really wanted to, because I just kept just, you know, putting in my step in front of the other, get one more mile closer. And we have a GPS tracker on you. And so, like, on your phone, you can look at, like, your live tracking and how far you have to go. And so I would just try to do that. But towards the end of the race, it was pretty hard because my pace had slowed down, you know, significantly. And so you don't see a whole lot of progress very quickly through that last part. And so I wanted myself to be put through the ringer. I wanted that to see what I could do to test myself. And I think I got everything I asked for.
And more.
And more. I said, I honestly felt, like I said, I was walking through the desert. I felt like it was terrible. And it wasn't until, like, I even got to the sign and the bridge there,
yep,
towards Valentine. And with like 2 miles ago, I still was like, I'm not going to make it. I don't think I can take that many steps. And it wasn't until I crossed the bridge, I checked my location, and it said like 0.86. That was the first time in the whole race in 100 miles that I thought, yeah, I think I can make it to the end. You know, I can just, and from 0.86 on, I just powered straight through and made it all the way to the end. And it was such a relief. I felt like the last quarter of a mile, I was just living on adrenaline.
Pure, I was starting to say pure adrenaline.
Just starting to pick up pace, yeah. And I was like, I can do this. Like, I'm going to finish. And I got to Bolo, and I got in there, and I got a water, and I got my free beer. You get a free beer if you run it. That's all you get in a belt buckle. And I had a pickle beer because I thought, well, pickle juice, that'd be good for me. And I think my adrenaline lasted 20 minutes, and I told my wife, I think we need to go now because I think my body's about ready to give up. And I think I went over actually to Robbie France's house now, where he lives in about four blocks from the time from Bullet to his house. I basically had to crawl in his house. I couldn't walk in there.
Mm-hmm. So you finished, and what was your official time?
It was 30 hours and 45 minutes.
30 hours and 45 minutes, and yep. You had 32 hours to complete.
32 hours, yep.
Do you know how many were first-timers like you that didn't finish? That how many started the race at Atkinson, and how many actually finished? Did they give you those stats?
There were 62 people that started the race, and only 32 finished.
32
I don't know 62. How many of them were first-timers. I mean, I talked to multiple people I know along the way that did it that had done it before. But I don't know the first timers, but I know, just barely only half did finish the race.
Well, congratulations. That's certainly something that I cannot even fathom wanting to ever undertake. But you know what? That's quite an accomplishment to test yourself, to test your body, and know minus some troubles for the next week or so that you came out on the other end of it. So
yeah, I think it took me. Well, after the first couple of days, I had to use a walker, and then I, like I said, transitioned to a cane, and it took me about 3 days to have a normal stool, and I went and got blood work done, and my liver still isn't functioning great, but hopefully with everything else, I'm on the mend finally, so.
Very good. Well, just wanted to have you kind of to take us through that. I just thought that was quite something that you would undertaken that and that you had finished it, but wanted to get kind of some of the details along the way. So thanks for stopping in. Congrats, and don't ever do anything like that again.
Yeah, I don't know if I will or not. I mean, that community is really great, but I tell you, on mile 80, I was definitely telling myself never, ever again.
Nick Martin on KBRB after completing a 100-mile ultramarathon here recently along the Cowboy Trail.